Parijate. The celestial tree known as Parijata.
The celestial tree known as Parijata.
Anjusa. Completely. Labde.
Having achieved.
Sarangaha.
A B.
Anyat.
Other.
Nasevate.
Does not resort to.
Twat angri.
Your lotus feet.
Mulam.
The root of everything.
Asajja.
Having approached.
Satshad.
Directly.
Kim.
What?
Kim.
What?
Rene
Mahi.
May we ask?
Translation.
Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? So you can repeat,
Dear Lord.
When the bee approaches the celestial tree,
Called the Parijata,
it certainly does not leave the tree.
Because there is no need for such action.
Similarly, when we have approached
your lotus feet
and taken shelter of them,
what further benedictions
may we ask of you?
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
When a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches the Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there's unlimited transcendental bliss, and as such, there's no need to ask for further benediction. The Parijata tree is not commonly found within this material world. The Parijata tree is also known as Kalpavriksha, or the wish-fulfilling tree. One can get anything he desires from such a tree. In the material world, one can get oranges from an orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree. But there's no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree, oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. This tree is found in the spiritual world, Chintamani Prakata Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Lakshavrteshu. The spiritual world, Chintamani Dham, is surrounded by these Kalpa Vriksha trees. But the Parijata tree is also found in the kingdom of Indra, that is, on Indra's heavenly planet. This Parijata tree was brought by Krishna to please Satyabhama, one of his queens. And this tree was implanted in the Dwarka mansions constructed for the queens. The lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees, or wish-fulfilling trees. And the devotees are like bumblebees. They are always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. So, Parijate njasa labde, sarango njana sevate, twadangri mulam asajya, sakshat king kim, vanimahi. So, Omagana, Tibetanda Shaganjana, Shilakaya, Chatsur, and Militam, Yena Tasmai, Shi Gurave Namaha. So, in this world, we are all hankering for something like the Parijata tree, the wish-fulfilling tree, because we have so many wishes. Just like that movie that was there a little while ago. It was called The Secret, because it wasn't such a big secret. They had the conception, at least the proposal or the vision of that movie, was that whatever one desires in this world strongly enough and meditates on, you'll get. So they were advocating, you know, just doing deep meditation on your material desires. Of course, the problem is, of course, it doesn't work. First of all, the point is, it doesn't work like that because what you get or don't get is dependent on your karma if you're not a devotee. And if you're a devotee, what you get or don't get is dependent upon what Krishna sees as best for your devotional service, or Krishna sees as an impediment for your devotional service. So it really doesn't work like you meditate on something and then you get it. Except you meditate on Krishna and you get it. That's a different thing. So, but that's the first point. The second point is that when one meditates on something to please his or her senses, then yadindriya priti opportunity. It is described by Lord Rishabhadev. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. Yadindriya pritya aprinoti. He says, what happens? Then you commit vikarmas. That's the problem when you meditate on, when you consider your senses to be so important to you. And of course, there's the senses of the mind and the intelligence. But most people are on the sensual platform. A few people are on the mental platform. And practically no one is on the intelligence platform. You know, intelligence platform basically means you understand you're not the senses in the mind, and therefore you, ikeha kuranandana, you're one-pointed in your determination to transcend these things. And you tolerate the pushings of Abhachyo Vegam. Manasa Kroda Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udupashta Vegam. So anyway, so you commit sinful activities when you consider your senses very dear like that. You become overwhelmed. So we'll give an example of how different people became overwhelmed with this desire to possess the Parijata tree or a Kamadena, which is a very similar thing. There's a desire tree, Kalpa Vriksha, and there's a Kamadenu, that means the cow that gives your kama, gives your desires. So, of course, as far as the Parijata tree, it's very interesting, the story of the Parijata tree. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First we had Narada Muni, who gave a Parijata flower to Krishna's chief queen, who is Rukmini. And Krishna's second queen, Satyabhama. Of course, Satyabhama means that by nature she is angry. Satya means that. Sometimes it means truth, but by nature, was your nature, Bhama, left-handed. Bhama means left-handed, or angry. So, or envious. Of course, that envy or that anger is transcendental, because Satyabhama is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So that's all right. That's explained in the Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. So that's all right. We're not criticizing, of course. So, but Satyabhama, when she heard that Rukmini had gotten the Parijata flower, she also wanted the Parijata flower. In fact, she wanted more than the flower, she wanted the whole tree. So when Krishna went to take care of the Vomasura, that's the earth demon, or the demon who is the son of the earth, and also son of the incarnation of the Lord Varaha, who touched the earth with his tusks, Angani Asha Shakalan, Driadri Timanti. So when Krishna went to take care of this Vomasura, because Vomasura had kidnapped 16,100 princesses, who were also the gopis of Vrindavan. Anyway, there's a whole story about that. And they were also the gopis, and the Lita Madhava describes that, and I'm not going to get into the details. So he went to get them back because they've been kidnapped by this Bhomasura. So Bhomasura had also done other things, like he had taken different jewels, and especially Bhomasura somehow or other stole the earrings of Aditi, the mother of the demigods. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know how he did it. We went up, but it's described in the 10th canto in Krishna book, that he stole Aditi's earrings. And it's not just like ordinary earrings. You know, when The mother of the demigods has earrings. They're just not like your ordinary Walmart brand. You know, Walmart, you can buy earrings, I guess, for a dollar or two or something like that. So anyway, they were obviously special earrings. So Krishna went, he killed the Bulbasura, the Mora demon, and Satyabhama was riding on the Garuda's back with Krishna. And she gave Krishna permission to kill Bulbasura because Bulbasura was the son of the earth planet, and Krishna had previously told Bhumi that he wouldn't kill her son without her permission. So Krishna had a trick. He utilized Satyabhama's presence to get permission from her, and of course Bhumi is an expansion of Satyabhama. So things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So he got permission, killed Bulbasura, got the princesses, got these earrings back, the earrings of Aditi, and went to Amaravati. Amaravati is the heavenly planet where Indra resides, and he has all the apsaras there. He has so much opulence he has. I mean, you'd think he would be happy. I mean, he has all these apsaras and Urvasis there dancing for him. I mean, you can't find a better dancer than Urvasi, right? I mean, she comes from Naranarayan Rishi. Yeah, she was presented to Indra by Naranarayan Rishi, so I don't think you can find a more beautiful girl than that. Anyway, so what happened is that Krishna said, "Oh, here's your earrings back, Aditi." And Indra was very, very pleased. Thank you very much, Krishna. But then you had Satyabhama ask for the Parijata flower or tree, and Krishna grabbed the whole tree, and Indra got so angry that he started to fight with Krishna. You know, he thought, "I'm going to teach this Krishna a lesson. Yeah, he brought my mother's earrings back, but he's taking this Parijata tree." And there were other ones, too. It's not that it was the only Parijata tree in the heavenly planets. You know, that I can understand. If there was only one tree, you know, I could get a little angry, too, if Krishna wanted to take it away from me. But there are many in the heavenly planets. And it's just like Indra was just so attached to his prestige, in spite of having everything. Everything, you know, basically, not everything, but, you know, so much. He was still Yadindriya Pritya Aparinoti. His senses were disturbed because he considered his senses very dear to him, or the satisfaction of the senses to be very important. So then Indra fought Krishna, and as we know, when there's a fight between Krishna and anyone, Krishna always wins. You don't have Krishna. Of course, sometimes Krishna runs away, like when he was fighting with Jarasandha. But it's not that he lost. He exhibited his opulence of renunciation. Or when he was fighting with Kalyavana, he ran away so Kalyavana could be killed by Muchukunda. But Krishna doesn't lose fights. There's no question of Krishna losing a fight. Of course, on the other hand, Krishna loses fights with the gopis because they can control him by their devotion. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan Mohini, so he's defeated by them. But that's a little bit different than some demon defeating Krishna. So Krishna won, and Indra apologized, and Krishna brought the Parijata tree back. And somehow or other, Prabhupada describes that all the palaces in Dwarka had the Parijata tree there. It wasn't just Satyabhama's palace. So I guess the other wives actually got a little upset too. You know, when you have 16,108, you really have to treat everyone pretty equally, or else you got a mess on your hands. Just like Krishna gave each one of them 10 sons. I mean, it's not that one had 20 sons, another had 10 sons, another one had one son, but Krishna gave them all 10 sons, one daughter. So they, you know, you see Krishna treated them all equally, isn't it? It's interesting. Like, generally, if one has many wives, one wife would be considered more important. Like Suruchi and Suniti with King Uttanapada, right? Suruchi means good taste. It's interesting. Su means good. Ruchi means to have a taste. So, Suruchi. Anyway, some of these names are very interesting. So, but Krishna treated them all equally. They all got their Parijata plants there. And they were all very happy. So getting back to Indra, just like you see that someone who hankers after these things, because they have uncontrolled senses, he committed, I would say it's a vikarma, you know, something that terrible activity of attacking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And other examples of Indra also being attracted to things in this world, before we get on to the Kamadhenu examples, was that a story of Ahalya. That Indra, he looked down on the earth planet and he saw the Gautama Rishi's wife, Ahalya, who was an extremely chaste girl. And he just lusted after her in spite of having so much. That's proof that you're never satisfied, isn't it? There's so much in the heavenly planets. I mean, there's mangoes as big as this building or bigger. Big as the Empire State Building. Or Twin Towers before they got knocked down. And there's no skin on it and no pits and no strings. I mean, sometimes you eat mangoes and the strings get in your teeth and you go, ew. Or you get mango poisoning from the skin, right? Some people get mango poisoning from the skin. So imagine having so much and you're still not satisfied. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, huh? I mean, just like if I had all the computers in the world, I'd probably still want more computers. Everyone has different desires. So Indra looked down at this lady and he thought, I'd have to have her. So he went down, assumed the form of Gautama Rishi and had a relationship with her. And as he was coming out of the house, the real Gautama Rishi came back from bathing. And Indra had a little bit of a problem, medical problem at that point. And he had to take care of things. And, of course, Ahalya got cursed. Two different versions of the story. One is she became a stone. Another one is she became disincarnate. Disincarnate means like a ghostly body. Actually, in different places, there's two different versions, like in the Mahabharata and compared to the Valmiki Ramayana. So, anyway, the essence of the story is the same. The Siddhanta is exactly the same. So there you have intercomplete. And then what to speak of getting angry at Krishna? Another point is when he got angry at Krishna because he wasn't worshipped. When there was this sacrifice that was supposed to be performed for him. And he just didn't get his prophet adoration distinction, right? I mean, it's not that he needed the sacrifice. You know, he has plenty of other people offering sacrifice to him. But, you know, he was just so angry at this little boy Krishna. Because Krishna had dissuaded the residents of Vrindavan from performing the Indra sacrifice. And then Indra got angry. I mean, just see, you have so much. It's proof that you're never satisfied. Avatam Gyaname Tena. Gyanino Nichavayana. Kamarupena Kontiya. What is it? Dushparena Analenacha. There's one conscious, avritam gyanam itena. When one has this lust for like the Parijata tree or for Lakshmi or whatever, avritam gyanam itena, avritam means to be covered. Gyana, his knowledge or one's knowledge is covered. Kama rupena kuntiya, by the form of lust, dushparena analena cha. And then everybody knows this verse. It's never satisfied and it burns you. It actually really burns like fire. That's Prabhupada's translation. It just burns you, this lust. Although we think this is nice, this love. When springtime, a young man's fancy turns to love. Anyway, enough sannyas talk. So, all right, other example. I would give you some examples of... Also of Kamadhenu, which is similar to the Kalpavriksha. Kamadhenu is a cow in the spiritual world who can give you whatever you want. It's interesting. And when I first joined the movement, I really wanted to go back to the spiritual world because of the Kamadhenus and Kalpavrikshas. I wasn't so much thinking of worshiping Krishna. I was just attracted to Kamadhenus and Kalpavrikshas, you know, having whatever I wanted. You know, this is... The Brahmacharya, we would talk to each other, wow, you can go back to the spiritual world and get mango ice cream or strawberry ice cream. You remember this? You know, when I first joined the movement. This is, you know, instead of talking about Krishna's pastimes, we're talking about how we were going to be the center of enjoyment in the spiritual world. Wow, I can get pizza from the Kalpa Vriksha tree, you know. Pizza with olives on it. Okay. So, anyway, so here's a story about a Kamadhenu. Once upon a time, Viswamitra, it wasn't Viswamitra Muni at that particular point, but anyway, he was traveling around his kingdom, and he came to the hermitage of Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni welcomed him very nicely, and they were friends at that particular juncture. Vasishtha Muni said, please let me entertain your whole army and you. And so he was thinking, Vishwamitra was thinking, this is not so good. I mean, we're going to just like bankrupt the whole ashram here. You know, there's too many guests. You know, because the army had probably 1,000, 10,000 soldiers. These weren't small armies. So Vishwamitra said, no, let's just go back home. And Vasishtha Muni said, No, just come here and eat. I have a Kamadhenu. She'll supply anything you want. So, it's described, the Ramayana actually describes this quite elaborately, Valmiki Ramayana, that Vishwamitra sat there with his army, and the Kamadhenu supplied whatever dish each particular soldier wanted, which is favorite. You know, someone wanted pizza, the other one wanted lasagna, or whatever. Obviously, they didn't have pizza or lasagna at that time. So, whatever they wanted. And there were also, another thing that's described in the Valmiki Ramayana, they were supplied dancing girls, too. Not only food, but dancing girls to entertain them while they were eating. You know, sometimes you're eating, you want to do something else, you know. Like a dinner theater, like they have here. Isn't it in the West they have dinner theater sometimes? You can eat your dinner, your V-karmic dinner, and watch some Shakespearean play or whatever play. So, wow, they were just like overwhelmed. They were thinking, this is better food than we get in the palace. And so what happened is that Vishwamitra, it wasn't Muni at that point, he asked for the Kamadhenu, and then he started bargaining. He said, well, I'll give you, you know, several thousand regular cows, 10,000 cows, millions of cows, you know, whatever you want. And Vasishtha Muni said, no, all my sacrifices are dependent upon this cow because she supplies me with the ghee for the sacrifices, and very important. So Vishwamitra, he tried to take her, and basically she started to go with him. And Vasishtha, he didn't want to fight. You know, obviously he didn't want to fight. He was a Muni. And she ran to Vasishtha, and she said, the cow, Kamadhenu, Nandini is her name, actually. She ran to Vasishtha, and she said, do you want me to stay? And he said, yes, I want you to stay, but I'm not going to fight. But you should stay. So as soon as she got that desire or order, then she produced all these different soldiers from her. From the anus, from the udder, and all the different parts of the body. You know, they came out of her body somehow or other. And they started to attack the soldiers of Vishwamitra. And basically, he was defeated. And so, you know, he was very upset with this. And as a result, Vishwamitra started a whole series of attacks against Vasishtha Muni. And eventually, because Vishwamitra really wanted to have the same status as Vasishtha Muni, he became a Brahmana. But that took a long time, and a lot of different fights, and a lot of different killing, and suicide attempts. I mean, is it killing each other's sons, cursing each other's sons, cursing kings? I mean, there's a whole history, practically volumes written about the conflict between Vishwamitra and Vasishtha Muni. But it all came about because of the desire for this Kamadhenu, the cow that would give everything. And similarly, there's a story, this Kartavira Arjuna. So Kartavira Arjuna, he went to see the sage Jamadagni, who is the father of Parashuram. And Kartavir Arjuna, he wanted the desired cow too, and he tried to take it, and a similar thing happened to him. And eventually, Parashuram ended up killing him and killing his sons. And then king, Kartavir Arjuna, eventually killed Parashuram's father, Jamadagni, and there was a whole conflagration because of this. You know, back and forth, and Parashuram eventually slaughtered all the Kshatriyas and created lakes of blood just because of this intent. So you see how the point I'm making is this intense desire for enjoying this world, especially for something that can supply all your needs and all your desires. Can you imagine how attractive it is? Like, of course, a modern example is Aladdin's genie or The Secret. So in modern society, you may say, well, some people follow The Secret or something like that. But in modern society, there is also propaganda too. And that propaganda is like how through science, modern science and technology, all your desires can be fulfilled. Just like recently the iPhone, for example, use a technological example, came out with this thing called, what's it called, Siri or Shiri? Siri, where you can just say your desire to it. So I would like a pizza. And it doesn't produce a pizza, obviously. That's coming later. But it'll tell you, 1/4 mile away, here's the direction. You have that on your phone? Yeah. And 1/4 mile away, you can go here and you will find a pizza. So you see, I know that may come as a shock to you. I don't know too much about modern technology. But there's this whole, like, promise of technology that it can actually, you know, give you mystic powers, fulfill your material desires, and, you know, enter into this virtual reality. I mean, it's, of course, that ultimately ends up with something like The Matrix, where everyone is within an illusion, and they're still more lusty. So this doesn't make you satisfied or peaceful. I mean, the only thing that satisfies you or makes you peaceful is Krishna's statement, or following Krishna's statement in the 5th chapter of the Gita, text 39, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gatvamam Shantim Richati. To understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. In other words, when you see something, you think about how it can be given to Krishna. If you see a Parijata flower, of course we don't see many around. But let's say if you're walking, I'm walking sometimes a lot, but let's say I'm walking and I see a flower, immediately I think how it can be given to Krishna. Or if I go into the Walmart and I see some nice mango, I think how it can be given to Krishna. Of course, if I see a computer, I think how it can be given to me. But that's, I have to be honest. Anyway, so, but the training, see, the deity worship, for those of us who are neophytes, myself included, the deity worship actually trains one up in that consciousness. When you understand, it's just like we have the deities here, Radha Golokananda, and Krishna is the king here. So that means you see something, you think, how can it be given to the king? Or I have my, of course, I worship Govardhan Shilas, and whenever I see a flower, instead of thinking, would it smell nice? I think, how can it be given to Krishna? Or I see some fruit in the supermarket, how can it be given to Krishna? Or some nice decorative thing, or jewelry. Even I go into Walmart, because I don't go to any place more expensive than that. So, you know, it's something I look at the jewelry section and I think, how can it be given to Krishna? So this is actually the solution. Otherwise, you know, if a lady goes into the jewelry section, what is she going to think? How would this look on me? And it's not going to make her happy. You can have so many earrings, so many nose rings. You have trouble breathing too. And so many earrings, so many nose rings, so many saris, like Imelda Marcos's shoes. But it ain't making you happy, it just makes you more disturbed. But if you're actually seen everything as an impetus or as an offering or potential offering to Krishna, then you're peaceful and then you're happy. And then you don't commit the karmic activity. So this is some of the points we can get from this particular verse about the Parijata flower. Also, another thing about the tree is that there's many points it's described the bees stay with the Parijata tree because it supplies unlimited honey, unlimited pollen. It's described when Krishna took the Parijata tree from the heavenly planets to the earth planet, to Dwarka. Not only did the bees follow it, but the swans. Krishna book, the Prabhupada describes the heavenly swans came down with the Parijata tree down to the earth planet, down to Dwarka. It's interesting, isn't it? A little bit of information for you. So any questions or comments about the points? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why we have deity worship. We should concentrate. We should all have worshipable deities. Of course, here is Radhika Lokananda. And the deity worship is necessary because you're talking about, obviously, I mean, if someone's advanced, then that's another thing. I mean, someone's like a Uttama Adhikari or, you know, advanced Madhyama Adhikari. But generally, for most of us, we need to actually be thinking of Krishna, just like a wife is thinking of the husband. You know, the husband comes back, she may look like a mess the rest of the day. When the husband comes back, she's supposed to take the curlers out. I don't know if ladies use curlers anymore, but my mother used to do that. You know, take off the mustache dye, you know, so it's, he won't see the mustache. So, she's thinking of him, you know, when is he coming home? So in the same way, we should have that attachment for Radhika Lokananda. You know, you see something, you think of Radhika Lokananda, how can it be used for them? Because that's one of the main purposes of deity worship, because it can help us focus. If a neophyte doesn't have deity worship, then it's almost impossible for them to give up selfishness. Although the nama is the most important process, so it's psychologically, it's extremely important to be worshiping the deities. And not just worshiping, but concentrating. These are my worshipful deities. You keep pictures of them around, whatever. You know, it's extremely important. You know, I found a whole change of my consciousness by worshiping Govardhan Shilas. Of course, I'm traveling. But when one is staying in one place, the temple deities should be the focal point. Prabhupada didn't really encourage people to have their individual deities. I mean, they can have little Gaudiya type deities at home. But Prabhupada wanted the local temple deities. That unifies us, too. Because when we each have our own little deities, it doesn't create unity. You know, so there's all sorts of, like, organizational factors, psychological factors, emotional factors, spiritual factors that are taken into account or important in regard to the deity worship in the temple. Local Iskcon temple. Okay? All glory is to His divine grace, to the Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada, Jai. Yeah. No, you don't stop that one.